So initially there was only a sort of 5-page summary actually released in terms of what this trade agreement would involve. What do we know so far? Generally speaking, what do we know so far?
Well, as you said, there's been a lot of news about possibly cheaper Tim Tams and cars and whiskey for Australians. But the agreement actually has up to 30 chapters. And when we did the initial analysis, when it came out earlier this week, we didn't know, for example, much about the other 30 chapters, which do have a lot of, they deal with regulation of things like medicines, corporate rights to sue governments, and other issues which do affect people's lives. I wrote articles critical of the fact that they hadn't released more details than they had, and the fact that the normal process is that we won't see the full text until after the agreement is signed, and it's very difficult to change. So it's a pretty secretive and undemocratic process.
Mm.
Now, what has happened overnight, though, is that both governments seem to have responded to the concerns about secrecy and also to the specific concerns about corporate rights to sue governments, and have actually released the more detail about what is in this agreement in principle that they've reached. It's still not the full detail. We've still got to wait for the full text until after it's signed. But I think we can say that we can claim a victory in the sense that the government has released this agreement in principle, and that they have said that corporate rights to sue governments won't be included in the agreement.
Speaking of in principle, when the two prime ministers got together, Scott Morrison and Boris Johnson, the in principle argument is this will be beneficial for both nations. But based on what we know so far, who do we see chiefly benefiting?
Well, I think the agreement is more of a, as Boris Johnson has said, it's more of a symbolic and political agreement, especially for the UK, because it's the first one they've reached since Brexit. For both Australia and the UK, though, the calculations about economic benefits that have been done show the economic benefits are actually very small. The UK is a very small market for Australia compared to, say, the European Union, which we're also negotiating a free trade agreement with, and our Asia-Pacific neighbours. So in economic terms, it's not very significant. The main benefits for Australian consumers will be some reductions in the 5% tariffs on British imports into Australia. Britain will also have some lower tariffs on Australian imports into Britain, but British farmers are actually quite worried about the impact of more, say, Australian beef and lamb imports coming in at lower prices into Britain. So there's tariff reductions on those Australian exports have been quite limited in terms of the quantities of exports and the tariff reductions being phased in over 10 years. So the economic benefits to consumers are pretty limited.
Would it be fair to say, I mean, obviously Boris Johnson could have been put a bit over a barrel on this one. The UK is a bit hungry for trade partners since leaving the European Union. If this is something of a political action, this is one to give Boris Johnson a bit more breathing room. He's got this kind of achievement he can now trot out in front of the press and the UK people.
Yes, and he's said that, you know, it's important symbolically and politically.
Now, in terms of some of those measures that you mentioned were marched out last night, there was these initial concerns. Just to delve a little bit deeper into these ones, my understanding is some of the agreements that were previously in place, or some of the way that the UK has previously done some of these things, is there could have been allowances that UK firms would be able to sue the Australian government or corporations in a way that Australian firms would not be able to, and kind of vice versa. Now, you're saying, based on the announcement overnight, this is no longer part of this agreement?
Yes, we were very worried about this because you might remember that the US tobacco company Philip Morris sued Australia for billions of dollars over our plain packaging legislation. These rules for investor state disputes, or ISDS, enable foreign corporations, not local corporations, to sue governments if they can argue that a change in law or policy will harm their investment. And we were quite worried because there's extensive British investment in Australia, and for instance, under those sorts of rules, the British company, mining company Rio Tinto, could threaten to sue the Australian government if the current changes in regulation, which the Western Australian government is making to better protect Indigenous heritage areas, if they could argue that was going to harm their investment, they would have the right to sue the Australian government. Another example is in aged care, where the British company Bupa is one of the largest aged care providers. And of course, our government is now looking at improvements in regulation for better staffing and quality of aged care. Again, they would have the right, if this had been included, to sue the government if they could argue that these changes would harm their investment or reduce their profits. So we're very relieved that that provision has been ruled out, and British companies won't be able to sue the Australian government, and Australian companies won't be able to sue the British government.
And are there any other provisos we should be aware of, whether for good or for bad, when it comes towards the actual signing of this agreement, the finalising and signing of this agreement?
Well, another big issue is the fact that the British, under the UK law, there are longer monopolies for medicines. That is, in addition to the 20-year monopoly that all new medicines have, the British law, or the UK law, has provisions for an extra 10 years of data protection before cheaper generic versions of medicines can come onto the market. Now, this basically delays cheaper medicines from coming onto the market. Unfortunately, the agreement in principle that's been published doesn't give any detail. It mentions this data protection, but it doesn't give any detail about exactly what is being proposed. So we won't know about that until after the agreement is signed and published. But if it does have up to 10 years data protection, this is up to 5 years longer than Australia has. So Australians would have to wait and for cheaper medicines to come on the market. This wouldn't cost consumers directly because our medicines are subsidised by the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. But what it would mean, there have been studies that show that for every year of delay of cheaper medicines coming onto the market, it costs the pharmaceutical benefit scheme and taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And of course, that money could be better spent on better healthcare rather than just paying pharmaceutical companies higher prices for longer. So we hope that that's not going to be in the agreement, but we won't know until the agreement is published after it's signed. And that's why we're calling and have called for a long time for the agreements, the full text of the agreements, to be published before they're signed and subjected to independent evaluation of their costs and benefits, so that everyone, the public, Parliament, everyone can see what's really in the agreement before it's signed.
Well, Patricia, do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning. Intriguing stuff. Really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.